Shoppers turned out for Black Friday. Abrielle Laurent went to the Lakeside Shopping Center in New Orleans, where she was handed a glass of champagne.
When I saw people walking around with it, I thought it was something they were buying. And so when the lady told us it was complimentary, that was even better.
Our Rita Foley has more.
Macy's Herald Square in Manhattan has been bustling with shoppers today. 60% off fashion jewelry, 50% off select shoes, says Macy's. CEO Jeff Gannett says there's significantly more traffic on this Black Friday compared to the previous 2 years because shoppers feel more comfortable in crowds. But how much money will they spend? Analysts say shoppers are buying cheaper items now as higher prices for food, rent, gas, and other necessities weigh on them. They're dipping more into savings and turning to buy now, pay later services. Some are running up their credit cards. I'm Rita Foley.
And I'm Ben Thomas, AP News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The federal infrastructure law has been in effect for a year now. Community leaders around Wisconsin are optimistic about badly needed repairs and improvements. Here's Mike Moen.
At the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Zach Brewing says so far nearly $3 billion in projects have been announced with funding from the law. Most are transportation-related, and Brewing says it's badly needed, as many areas have backlogs for priorities like road and bridge repairs.
And so by having a real strong federal partnership in the area of infrastructure helps address some of the backlog.
The law will also provide states funding for clean water infrastructure and expansion of high-speed internet. The plan did have some Republican opposition, but has otherwise been hailed by political analysts as a bipartisan achievement. Despite the significance of the law, some of those analysts say it hasn't stayed on the public's radar, especially during the recent election. But supporters are still getting the word out. Megan Rowe is with Opportunity Wisconsin, which has spent the last year educating communities about the benefits of these projects.
Whether we're spending less on car repairs due to updated roads and bridges, having access to safe drinking water or improved mass transit opportunities, this law is a once-in-a-generation investment in our state's infrastructure and competitiveness.
And as more projects are announced, Rose says it means additional well-paid union jobs for distressed areas. She says the long-term benefits from various improvements should particularly help rural areas and underserved communities. An interactive online map from the White House shows the projects so far are spread fairly evenly across Wisconsin. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
The Downtown Waukesha Christmas Parade is Sunday, December 4th, and WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM is proud to cover all the festivities. Parade coverage starts at 3 p.m. The coverage is brought to you by Mia's Kitchen and Pizzeria, delicious, fresh, homestyle Italian, and Planned Parenthood. Care no matter what. Affordable health care without judgment. Book your appointment today at ppwi.org. And Albanese's Roadhouse, authentic Italian family restaurant, sports bar and grill.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Krut.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this. Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. We are in our final hour. Thank you for listening, wherever you are, in any of the states, in any of the cities that we air in, all across the Civic Media Network, on the app, on the podcast. We're happy that you're here. It's December.
It is.
This year has gone by really quickly.
Well, you had a whole bunch of things going on this
year. I did. But yes, this year was very fast. Lots of things happened. The holidays are here, which is very exciting. It is the happiest time of the year, some would say. Maybe not everyone agrees with that. But I will say one thing that makes me very happy is Christmas lights.
I agree.
And it's one of those, I think when I started the week and I said one of the things I learned on vacation is variation is important. Because I do catch myself on, as soon as the Christmas lights go up around any city, everything just looks prettier. And there's always a part of me that says, well, why can't we just have these up all year round? Not necessarily the distinctive, you know, Santa Claus is everywhere.
And the red and green and all that stuff.
Yeah, but like the pretty white lights. And it's like, well, maybe if they were up all year round, I wouldn't appreciate them as much. But right now, for this month, driving by the lights, driving by the decorations makes me very happy.
I agree with you. And I suggested years ago that when we take down our lights, perhaps in March, wouldn't it be nice to have some like light up daffodils or something, or light up tulips,
yeah,
some light up early flowers of spring, you know, you kind of get that going, because it does seem really dull when everybody turns them all off, and then we have to wade through February and March.
And especially in this state, because the worst months of winter are basically once all the Christmas lights are gone. And so it's just like brown, sludgy snow. Yeah. It's still 5 degrees outside. Everyone just wants spring to come, and we don't have any decorations to at least bring a smile to our face. But
that'll be our side hustle, Kristen.
Exactly. So, you know, we love a good national holiday, national observance, and there is plenty today. One of which is, it's National Christmas Lights Day. So we want to hear from you on what are the must-not-miss Christmas light display, holiday display spectacles in your part of Wisconsin.
And it might just be a particular house that really goes
totally
all out.
One house that you love, one park that really goes out, like does it big. We want to hear where is the, what in your town is just lights up, excuse the pun, for the holidays, 844-967-2789. But it's also National Peppermint Bark Day.
Who knew?
You do now. But it was kind of interesting. Williams-Sonoma. I did not realize the connection of Williams-Sonoma, the retail store.
The fancy cookware store.
The fancy cookware store. So this is the history of, I guess, kind of like peppermint bark in general, but specifically why it became a thing. So in 1998, Williams-Sonoma debuted the, all caps, the original peppermint bark, trademarked, which is now often copied, but never matches in quality or flavor. I say this, I had peppermint bark at my wedding. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't.
Crafted in small batches with no added artificial flavor or color, this top quality bark you know, bark, is made with custom blend of chocolate and triple distilled peppermint oil. And Williams-Sonoma spends 12 weeks every year making peppermint bark just for the holidays. They, you know, they add it to their cookware responsibilities, but this is a thing for them. And it took more than 20 rounds of testing to settle on the final perfect recipe for their peppermint bark. And it takes more than 24 hours to make a batch from start to finish.
Wow.
And today, 18 products bear the peppermint bark name at Williams-Sonoma.
And this is almonds and chocolate and peppermint, essentially.
Essentially. Yeah. And so, but this is, I get all these, if any of anyone's ever interested, on nationaltoday.com. And it's funny because they added all these, like, stats about, and polling. One was like, Americans love peppermint bark. We asked 2,000 Americans how they feel about peppermint bark. 53% love it.
There are 330 million people in this country, and you ask 2,000, and we all love peppermint bark now?
And then they have a map of the country, and
where it's pro peppermint bark.
Yeah, which states are more or less pro peppermint bark? So states that love peppermint bark the most: California, 86%.
Wow.
Washington State, 90%. Texas, Oklahoma, 80%. We're 75. Wisconsin is 75% of us love peppermint bark. So there's some fun facts for you today. It is also National Cookie Cutter Day.
Oh, I love that.
Do you know that originally, before they were called cookie cutters, they were called biscuit cutters?
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. But came from England.
Well, kind of.
Oh.
So, some more fun history. Cookie cutters made of ceramic or wood were first actually found in Egypt. In the year 2000 BC.
Come on.
Yeah.
What, were they like sacred cat cutouts or something?
That's a good idea. The cat eyeliner.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's just what it says, that there was something to mold or to cut dough of some sort.
That's fascinating.
Isn't it funny? Yeah. And then, but it wasn't until the 16th century that cookie cutters became popular. And it was because of the gingerbread man. Oh. Or woman, if you want to get into that
PC
ridiculousness. The gingerbread pattern. So the kings started this custom, and gingerbread cookies were frequently served to Queen Elizabeth I's court. And then once the gingerbread cookies became famous, it was basically people started talking about gingerbread biscuits, and more bakeries around the region in England started using the cookie cutters, making these gingerbread cookies. And then by the 1800s, tin cookie cutters were easy to find at any small shop. And then it got, the first biscuit cutter in the United States popped up around 1875. And there you go. Do you have a favorite cookie cutter? Are you a baker?
I do like to bake.
Okay.
And I will get together usually with one of my sisters and nieces, a couple of my nieces, and we will do a Saturday and do some baking. I have my mother's original cookie cutters, and she probably got hers in the 50s, assuming. So there's a reindeer cutout that I really like.
Okay.
It rarely looks like a reindeer.
I was going to say, that's when the intricate cookie cutter,
you
have to be careful, because once they, if there's too thin on one side, then all of a sudden there's nubs breaking off and you can't recognize what it's supposed to be. And
we always lose the antlers, and then it looks like a bad dog. And there's an old fashioned bell shaped.
Bells, I always feel like, were pretty easy. Like, it's hard to screw up a bell.
Yeah. And pretty easy to decorate too, because we always find that the first dozen cookies, I'll get really intricate with toothpicks and designing and following all the lines. And by this 37th cookie, you're like, just give me some frosting. I'm throwing some sprinkles on it. We're done.
Just move on.
Wrap it up.
That sounds about how it went in our house too. But
what about you? Was that a family thing for you?
It was certainly a family thing. And now it's like, I don't know. It's funny how the home ownership marriage thing, all of a sudden I feel like we're building traditions. So we will be decorating, speaking of national Christmas lights. Debbie Bry is currently at my house. I think she's Christmas-fying my house at the moment, but we're decorating the tree tonight.
She's going to elfify your house.
Oh my God. Well, our house growing up, every year, I think I literally heard my brother in the other room while I was prepping for the show today. He's like, Mom, you're like the mother of Christmas. And she goes all out. And so it's always been, like, now that I have a house, I think the desire to decorate in the interior, on the exterior, and get into it and have storage for said Christmas decorations to sit there 11 months out of the year.
Get a colored bin. Get a green or red bin so you know where all the
which
stuff.
Ones it is. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And so we're certainly starting to build our own traditions for Mike and I, but certainly in our house growing up, Christmas cookies, all the cookies were a thing. But I remember that specifically. It's pretty much what you said. There were certain shapes that were easier to make sure that they kept in their form.
Yep.
There were certain shapes that were more fun to decorate. But then by the end, and it was always messy. You can probably imagine that I am not a kid who colors in the lines, and so I certainly was not a kid who was necessarily good at frosting cookies.
So you weren't doing toothpick art like I was.
No. And it just got everywhere. And so, but yeah, I'm excited. I think tomorrow, as far as getting back to the question of what Christmas spectacles in Southeast Wisconsin do you always try to take in?
Well, there is, and I was thinking about this driving home yesterday. If you head eastbound from Highway 100 on Burleigh,
mm-hmm.
and so there's a golf course that will be on the south side. There is a house on the north side that must have been an old farmhouse that's probably from the late 1880s. They go all out, man, and it's a big two-story. So I'm always really impressed with people who can do the arch, you know, in the front of their house that requires an extension ladder, because that's not easy to do.
It's literally putting your neck on the line, yes, for your Christmas lights.
Yes, it is. And they do every single window and just nothing is missed. It's really spectacular. And of course, as you mentioned, Candy Cane Lane in West mm-hmm. Dallas has been there forever. I believe Berna Botanical Gardens does something now.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
I might be wrong on that, but I know that there's a big display in Waukesha. And yeah, there's always something to go see.
Yeah, so we want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. What are the big Christmas lights or displays in Rapids or Wausau or Amory? Or I should be able to think. I'm sure the Capitol's all lit up in Madison.
Oh, I would imagine.
But other things in Madison, Richland Center. I'm trying to think of other. Isn't there another thing in the Milwaukee area that is? I'm like the Chinese light displays that are really, it's really beautiful.
Is that for Christmas though?
I thought it was during December.
We'll check.
Which doesn't feel like there's necessarily a Chinese holiday that overlaps with that, but I should look that up at the break.
We'll check during the break. And we have a cookie text too that we'll come
back. We'll come back and talk to that. So yeah, we want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. What are the Christmas displays that you always look forward to that you want to recommend that other people check out and appreciate, because it is National Christmas Lights Day. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about doing stuff for the holidays, traditions, things going on this weekend as far as National Christmas Lights and all the things that are happening. So stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Downtown Waukesha Christmas Parade is Sunday, December 4th, and WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM is proud to cover all the festivities. Parade coverage starts at 3 p.m. The coverage is brought to you by Mia's Kitchen and Pizzeria, delicious, fresh, homestyle Italian, and Planned Parenthood. Care no matter what. Affordable health care without judgment. Book your appointment today at ppwi.org. And Albanese's Roadhouse, authentic Italian family restaurant, sports bar, and grill.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunny skies this afternoon with highs around 36. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 28. Tonight, cloudy. Overcast skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 39. Upper 30s Tuesday with a chance of snow turning warmer Wednesday with highs in the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
Ask Us Wisconsin with Kristen Bright. If you don't know that song and why Jane Mattenair, in all of her wisdom, would play that song with this topic, it's because it's called Light 'em Up.
It's a great song.
It is a really good song.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about it's National Christmas Lights Day.
Yay.
And so probably in a lot of spots, I think Christmas lights and holiday lights and displays have already been up. But certainly now is the appropriate time that they should all be up. And we're asking you, what's your favorite display in your area in Wisconsin? Is it a singular house? Is it a park? Is it a botanical garden? 844-967-2789. I know the collaborative effort that goes into Candy Cane Lane in Southeast Wisconsin, because it's not, it's just, I feel like it must be part of the contract when you buy a house in that neighborhood.
You got to know what's coming.
You're like, well, this is what we do. As a neighborhood, every single house goes all out, and then thousands of people drive zigzag around the block looking at everyone's house
for the
month of December.
Yes.
And so you don't want to be the one house that decided, well, we're not really into it. What do you do if you move into one of those houses and you're Jewish?
Put up a big light at a menorah.
There you go. All right. Yeah.
I think that would
so,
work.
So it is a spectacle, though, to have that much collaborative effort. And
everybody
buys
up with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody puts up with it. Because it's got to be inconvenient when you want to get out of your own driveway.
Yes. Although that is one of the things that I appreciate. This was not a thing in Madison, I don't think, unless there's certain neighborhoods. But so often in the neighborhoods around Milwaukee, there's the back alley to get to your garage.
True.
Versus needing to back in, like your driveway that backs into a traffic line of Christmas light viewers. and so I don't know if that neighborhood is one of those where at least you have a back way to escape your house.
To your garage.
Yeah.
We had a texter from the 262. Thank you so much for texting in at 844-967-2789. Previous break, we were talking about Christmas cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, my wife makes like 18 different kinds of cookies each Christmas. We give cookie plates to all our friends and family and our kids' teachers. My contribution, bourbon balls.
Ooh.
And some Buckeyes. I don't know what Buckeyes are.
That's Buckeyes from... are I think they're chocolate covered peanut butter.
Ooh.
And they look like little Buckeye nuts.
Oh, that sounds
really
good.
You know, not to be confused with the Ohio Buckeyes.
That's from Dave in the Shaw.
Oh,
thank you, Dave. He said that the Chinese lights display was in fall. That's what I thought.
Oh, okay. That's why I was like, maybe I'm forgetting this, and it's because it really has nothing to do with Christmas. But one of my friends recently shared a recipe with me for, because I am a big fan of bourbon, as we learned when Steve Palak was here.
And yeah.
He told us the Kentucky Chew, which I still am doing.
Do?
I do.
And it does make a difference.
It does make a difference.
I thought it was a joke when he first explained.
If you missed that episode, radio legend Steve Palak was here before I left for vacation. And he, big bourbon fan. I am a big bourbon fan. And he taught us that the right way to drink bourbon is in your first sip. You have to like swish it around your mouth like it's...
Like you're chewing
mouthwash. Or yeah, like you're chewing something, but also like it's like mouthwash. And that makes every subsequent sip, you can actually taste the bourbon versus the alcohol.
And instead of it just burning, it's smooth.
But I mentioned that because I'm going to try in my limited baking, all the extra time I have to bake.
Yes, I'm sure you'll just be whipping up 18 batches of cookies.
Bourbon Rice Krispies.
That should be pretty easy.
Right? I grew up, and I always was a bigger fan of the peanut butter Rice Krispies more than the traditional just marshmallow ones. But I'm interested in trying these out because that sounds very good.
I'm just wondering, those poor Krispies aren't very hardy. Doesn't the bourbon just make them go?
I don't know. I
guess, and they just evaporate?
Well, I'll make them and then I'll bring
and
them
then
in.
We'll find
you
out.
Can find out.
All right.
But I looked up some of the other fun traditions, light displays around the state. So I guess up in Green Bay, it's the Garden of Lights at the Green Bay Botanical Gardens, which looks beautiful. It looks like there's a big walkway with a bunch of arches. It doesn't look like you necessarily had to get in a... Anyone had to get on a ladder to put them on, but it's beautiful. And then Olin Park, I forgot that. Olin Park in Madison has a bunch of different light displays of like characters and a Green Bay Packers helmet and stuff. Obviously Riverside Park in Milwaukee near downtown,
I didn't know they did that.
When I first moved to Milwaukee, I lived right by the Fiserv Center. I remember I moved here in October, so it was pretty recently after I had moved. All of those lights go up right on the river, and
that's spectacular.
It was really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin Christmas Carnival of Lights, which happens in where is this? I don't even know where it says that happens, but Oshkosh has the Celebration of Lights in Sheboygan. They have Making Spirits Bright. This is just making me happy looking at all these pictures. There's Country Christmas in Pewaukee, Holiday Festival of Lights and Jingle Bus in Milwaukee. What's the Jingle Bus?
So you don't have to get cold.
Oh.
So you jump on board the Jingle Bus.
And they just take you to see all of the lights?
I think so.
Oh, that's fun.
And certainly if you have munchkins.
Yeah. Who get cold and tired.
To walk and, yeah, so that's a nice way to get around and so you can see everything.
The Rotary Winter Wonderland in Marshfield and Candy Cane Lane in West Dallas, as we already talked about.
There's no excuse if you need a fix on Christmas lights. You can certainly find it.
The Rotary Botanical Garden Holiday Light Show in Janesville. And so what do we miss? Let us know. 844-967-2789. Which Christmas light show are you looking forward to that we did not just list off? We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what is American that's super weird to other cultures. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit wesaysaveit.org. That's wesaysaveit.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation with I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
AP News, I'm Ben Thomas. Cities across Ukraine have been hit by Russian missile attacks in recent days, knocking out power and water. But the retaken city of Kherson in the south has been taking particularly heavy punishment. Karen Shamas has the story.
The sound of shelling thunders across the Kherson skyline. Ukrainian troops on the front line launch reconnaissance drones to determine the enemy's positions before firing. Kurt, a commander for a military unit, told the AP that Russian soldiers had taken up positions on the left bank of the Dnipro River. While the goal for Ukraine is to push the Russians further back, crossing the Dnipro River has become tricky as both sides have destroyed surrounding bridges. A day earlier, at least 5 people died in the city from Russian shelling. Nevertheless, the mood in Kherson remains defiant and resolute, as Kherson resident Valentina Pedina tells the AP, Putin wanted to take Kherson. Never. We will die here, but we will not give it to him. I'm Karen Chamas.
Investigators say the gunman who killed 6 people at a Walmart in Chesapeake, Virginia Tuesday night bought the gun just hours before opening fire on co-workers. He also left a note listing grievances. Meanwhile, the mass shooting at a popular gay club last weekend has Colorado Springs looking inward.
I think a lot of people, including myself, might have ascribed to the notion that we were going to age out of hate.
State Representative Leslie Harrod is the first openly LGBTQ and black person elected to Colorado's General Assembly.
It's not going to just go away. In fact, it's being bred in our communities, and it's been lifted up. So we have to actively change that.
European Union data shows Twitter took longer to review hateful content and removed less of it in 2022 than last year. Meantime, Elon Musk says Twitter will try to relaunch its premium service next week. The last attempt was flooded with imposter accounts. This is AP News.
¿Te tiene agobiado tu trabajo? ¿Sueñas con una carrera profesional donde puedas ganar más dinero y te sientas apreciado? Si tu respuesta es afirmativa, entonces Sigma Castings, una división de Sigma Engineered Solutions en Marquesan y Jackson, es tu respuesta. Son más que una empresa, son una familia de expertos dedicados que abarcan continentes. Te harán sentir apreciado de muchas maneras. Por ejemplo, el nivel básico de pago es de $18 por hora con revisiones periódicas de rendimiento. Después de los primeros 90 días de empleo, tendrás derecho a 80 horas de vacaciones más 11 feriados pagados. Aún más, ganarías un bono de $2,000 por permanecer en tu puesto. Te ofrecen un paquete de beneficios robusto, con primas bajas y excelente cobertura, y su plan de retiro 401k te va a impresionar. Se está contratando ahora para el primer turno, lunes a viernes, de 5 de la mañana a 2 de la tarde. Empieza tu nueva carrera ya con Sigma Castings en Marquesan y Jackson. Encuéntralos en Indeed o llama a 920-260-8560 y levántate en la mañana feliz de ir al trabajo.
Welcome back to Ask Us Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. So on this Giving Tuesday, we've been highlighting different organizations that you are excited about, people that you want to highlight, groups that you want to highlight that you should consider donating to, giving your time to. But now, for the next half hour, we wanted to highlight a local organization that you've probably heard of before, maybe have your own local chapter of. But Josh Barnacle, who is the Marketing and Communication Manager for St. Vincent de Paul Society of Waukesha County, is here. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
So, you know, we were just talking at the break, and I have to admit that most of the time when I think of St. Vincent de Paul, I think of it as a place where you can donate stuff to or you can go thrift shopping at. But that is only part of the larger mission and programming, right?
Absolutely. And you're not far off. It's my first inspection of them was the same thing. I would go in and thrift shop and find cool, unique things. And that was my first experience to them as well. But yeah, St. Vincent de Paul is much, much more than that. There's so many different programs that we offer to the community, and they're all centered around helping the most needy at their times of most need. And the thrift stores are kind of the excellent vehicle for getting and generating funds to support those programs. We have like our summer lunch program where children who really rely on the hot lunch meals throughout the school year in order to sustainably feed themselves throughout the year, they really use that as like a government type of subsidized form to really fill in those gaps. They don't have that during the summer because school is not in session. So it's something that we can provide to those struggling families of like, you make sure you have a meal, you have structure, you have that kind of routine that school helps to bring even when it's not in session. Our jail ministry programs really help trying to cut down recidivism. And one program that we have called Project Angel Tree, where a lot of the times people don't think that some of these incarcerated individuals, they have kids that they didn't do anything wrong. It's a victim of circumstance, and they deserve to have a good holiday and deserve to be able to celebrate as much as they can. So Project Angel Tree is a program that's focused on providing those kids presents and giving those incarcerated individuals an opportunity to talk to their kids. They're able to write a note and give a personalized address to their children for Christmas and give them that kind of connection that they wouldn't be able to get. And it's little programs like that on top of rental assistance and providing appliances and furniture for those in need. In a much other, domestic abuse situations, we're a resource for a lot of people that don't have any place left to turn. And it's entirely funded and supported by the generosity of the communities that we service.
And so you're obviously in the Waukesha St. Vincent de Paul. Is this the same for every St. Vincent de Paul as far as they have their programming and that programming is funded by the store?
Correct. The programs themselves may differ slightly, like certain ones will offer different programs that others don't, but they're all supported and funded in the same way through the generosity of people donating, whether that be financial support, clothing that they don't wear anymore, furniture that they've upgraded, things of that nature. As long as they can still be in serviceable and good cosmetic condition and would benefit somebody else, that's the kind of things that we take and we really appreciate because it helps us, once again, generate those funds to help those that are in need in the community.
Josh, I'm so impressed by that angel program that you just mentioned about, getting presents for the kids of people who are incarcerated, because I think they get forgotten. And I think people may not necessarily be sympathetic, which is tragic.
I completely agree. It's a thing that's often overlooked, and they don't deserve that. They deserve to be able to be kids and enjoy themselves and have that special holiday time. And everyone in their life has made mistakes before. Like, no one is free of that. So, but they haven't even had the opportunity to have that happen to them, and they deserve to be able to have a good holiday season. And it's become kind of like my personal pet project. Like, it's one of my favorite programs because of that. And it's really special. So I really like to talk about it whenever I can.
Well, this is a great opportunity to talk about it. And so, because what, for people who are now maybe feeling inspired to give in one way or another, I guess the first thing is when you donate stuff, what limitations, you just said cosmetically still works, but what are the limitations of this is not your dumping ground?
Yes.
But what should people keep in mind when they're thinking, they're going through stuff, they're getting rid of stuff, and what can be donated and what you should just get rid of.
Yeah. absolutely.
Throw away.
There's, there's always a fine line there, but generally speaking, we're looking for things that are in good working or cosmetic condition. We are also very sensitive to pet dander and smoke smells, because there's a lot of people that have allergies for those things, and efficiently cleaning them for us is something we can't always promise. So those are things that we tend to shy away from, but the amount of things that we do accept and can be useful to us and to others that come and shop in our locations is pretty vast. The main things that we wouldn't take are mattresses if they've been used before, things that fabrics and textiles that are very difficult to clean properly are things that we would mostly shy away from. But I think you'd be surprised by the amount of things that can be donated and are useful and beneficial to people.
So. Does that include, Josh, things like dishes and flatware, and, you know, you get a new set of knives for Christmas, and now I have a block of pretty good knives that I could, you know, give away. Do you take things like that, too?
Absolutely, absolutely. And clothing, electronics, as long as they're still functioning, hard goods, which would be, you know, dishware, dinnerware, all kinds of different odds and ends of, like, home goods that we kind of categorize that as. We are open to taking pretty much anything and everything outside of, if you don't want it on your shelf or you don't want it in your house for some reason, we probably don't want it either, unless it's just like a I've upgraded situation or, you know, something like that.
It doesn't spark joy anymore.
Thank you.
Yeah, someone else should get joy from this thing. It no longer gives me any.
If you wouldn't give it to, like, your child, sending them to college, if it's below that bar, we probably should consider a recycling or a disposal service.
So besides donating stuff, mm-hmm. what are other ways people can help St. Vincent de Paul? Is it volunteering? Is it monetary donations?
I mean, monetary donations are always king. They help the most because we're able to help extend some of the dollars, where if you were to go out and buy something, we're able to work within different discounts and other beneficiaries where we can make that dollar stretch significantly more. So it's always beneficial that way, but time is just as important. Even just coming into the store and helping us sort things, price things, put things on shelves. We have our book department is almost entirely run by volunteers. Everything's kind of automated through a computer there, so they're able to scan things, put the prices on it. They organize everything so well. Mark and Ruth Ann are great. I love them dearly. I love all of our volunteers, but I get to see them almost every day, so they're kind of special to me personally. But yes, volunteering your time is just as important and just as impactful as donating dollars. But yeah, there's so many different ways you can help out, both at the store level or at a council level at your local church conference, which we have 26 throughout the county. So yeah.
Great.
We spoke with someone, Josh, from Feeding America of Eastern Wisconsin, Southeastern Wisconsin, last week, and she had talked about how much the volunteers get out of it. And for some of these people who are retired and maybe a little bit more isolated or don't have a lot of family, this really becomes a second family for folks.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a great way for them to share their own personal strengths and gifts that they've had throughout their life to benefit others. But then there's also that sense of family and community that comes with it, where you have people that you can talk to every day and you have a renewed purpose, because what you're doing is directly helping people in the area that you live in. And it's part of the reason I go to work every day.
How long have you been working there?
I've been there for, it was 8 years in November.
Wow.
So we're working on the decade. We're getting there.
You get a gold watch.
No, not quite.
Gold watch.
I get another pat on the back, but that's about it. But
so going into the holiday season, are there unique challenges that always pop up around this time of year?
Absolutely. I mean, there's need throughout the year, but during the holidays, especially once things get colder, we work with different shelters around the area to be able to provide coats and things, and those are always incredibly, incredibly necessary once the temperatures start dropping. And there's always that influx during this time of year where giving is even more important and more special, just because of the season that it is. And a lot of the needs start to arise here. And St. Vincent de Paul is one of the only organizations that's allowed to pay other people's utility bills.
Oh, interesting.
You know how they always ask you that question of, like, are you sure this is you logging in to pay your bill? Where you're like, yeah, I make the joke all the time of, like, please let somebody else pay my bill. I would love that. St. Vincent de Paul is one of the people that can actually do that. Very instrumental in preventing utility shutoffs for people, providing rental assistance, and really just helping people get back on their feet. And that happens a lot during this time of year as well, when, once again, it gets cold. And you do not want that heat getting turned off, especially if you have small children. And we're one of the resources that prevents that from happening to people.
So is your job as the marketing communications person, mm-hmm. what is the balance between the fundraising side of it, and that encompasses getting people to donate money, donate stuff, volunteer. And then also the marketing and communication side of people knowing what resources are available if they need them.
It's a difficult balance.
Yeah.
And up until probably about a year ago, it's been mildly separated, where the programs were kind of in charge of doing that themselves, and I was strictly on the store side. And we've started to merge a little bit more, and I've been able to put a little bit more of my creative energy into getting notice out for some of these programs. And I mean, as far as resources go, the stores get a lot of questions about, I'm in need of assistance. Where can I go? What can I do? And since I handle all of the online and social media presence, I've had a hand in directing those people. Mm-hmm. So by proxy, I've become very involved with how majority of our programs work and that information. So I've been putting that out in as many different social media avenues as I can, working with a lot of other local organizations, like the Hope Center, which is not too far from where we are recording this right now, and other organizations like that in the area, like La Casa Esperanza, not too far from here, with employment services and things like that. So it's just getting the message out to as many people and in many ways as possible, because everybody kind of gets information in their own personal little way.
Yeah.
So this wide a net as I can to let people know where they can find help.
Because I always think about that in the sense of, we're so used to being, a lot of us are computer literate now, and we get information through social media or through websites, and not realizing that there's a lot of people who don't have access to, I mean, they can use the library computers or whatever, but like actually still having the bulletin board and like the actual physical stuff, or considering how to reach people who don't necessarily have the phone or the laptop or whatever. And so it was such an interesting, like, so I was asked it because I was, how do you reach the people who need this most?
We do still a good amount of traditional print media, because for the exact reasons that you stated, there's a lot of people that, especially the ones that need the most help, don't have as readily connections to online mediums like that. So, I mean, we still do, like, you know, the billboards, and we still do mailers from time to time, things of that nature, to make sure that those physical things are still out there outside along with the digital.
All right, we got 1 minute left. So where's your fast pitch of where people can get more information?
It's pretty simple. You can go to svdpthrift.net, and that will show you where you can get assistance. It can also has a tab on the top right corner where you can donate directly to us, and you can even select a program that you would choose. So if you wanted to go towards something specific, you can. Otherwise, you can go directly to the Needy Family Fund, where it can go pretty much anywhere to any program that we offer.
Awesome. Josh Barnacle is the Marketing and Communication Manager for St. Vincent de Paul Society of Waukesha County. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much for being so generous on this Giving Tuesday.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks so much. We're going to take one more break and then wrap up today's show. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Don't you worry.
Downtown Waukesha Christmas Parade is Sunday, December 4th, and WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM is proud to cover all the festivities. Parade coverage starts at 3 p.m. This coverage is brought to you by Waukesha Auto Repair. When your car breaks down, don't get mad. Go to war. Waukesha Auto Repair, locally owned and operated, 262-524-0000. And fully promoted. 18 years of promotional service. Whatever you want, we can get it. And Buddy's Burgers and Custard. Best burgers and custard in Waukesha.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands, seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota Style 12 Grain, Multigrain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Sunny skies and calm this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 36. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 28. High temperatures reach up to 39. Tomorrow, cloudy skies expected. Upper 30s Tuesday, turning warmer on Wednesday with highs in the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Jennifer Dunn, who is the director of the Waukesha District Attorney's Office Victim Witness Assistance Program. So I was checking out the Facebook page, and it seems like there, as much good work you do, it seems like there is someone who outshines everyone, which is Pepper the dog. And so what role does Pepper play in all of your work?
Pepper the dog, to be clear, is the most favorite employee in the DA's office. And I'm reminded very frequently that she comes way above me. So we went on this sort of journey to get a comfort dog several years ago and made it happen or realize that dream at the end of 2020. And we now have Pepper, I should say, our courthouse facility dog. She is not a service dog. She was raised and trained as one, but I like to be careful about that because people, there's differences. Mm-hmm. So Pepper is not allowed anywhere. She has to have permission, but she is now the Waukesha Victim Assistance Canine Specialist and has the ability to be really anywhere on campus and has just done amazing things. We sort of knew having her would be a great addition to our services, but couldn't have imagined how amazing it's been. So I've been sold on the benefits of dogs to assist people, to help calm them down, to help ease anxiety for a long time, and just started getting more serious about it. The DA that we have, the county executive that we have, our county board are very supportive. And in my early research, I found a program called Journey Together Service Dog. Someone at that program answered my initial call as I was just getting some background information and spent about 2 hours on the phone with me. And I hung up that night knowing that was the organization I wanted to work with. Journey Together actually raises and trains service dogs for individuals, veterans with PTSD, and now have expanded to training and placing some facility dogs, some dogs for crime victims, and they, along with a number of amazing volunteers and their organization professionals, train those dogs in Oshkosh Correctional Institution.
Hmm.
Inmates actually learn job skills by training the dogs. So I thought
was
just an amazing example of restorative justice, and that inmates would help train this dog to work with crime victims. So
I just kind of got chills. That's a great story. It's a great program.
It really is amazing. And probably shame on me, but in my career, I had not really toured prisons or looked at their rehabilitation efforts as a victim advocate and fairly strident, staunch one, if you ask anyone. I really hadn't paid much attention to that. So after working with them a little bit, I did go spend an evening at the prison participating in one of these classes, and it really gave me a whole new perspective on those programs for offenders and how wonderful it was, the efforts of both the inmates and the staff at the Correctional Institute to make that happen. The offenders who participate give up a lot of privileges in order to be part of that program and really take it very seriously. They even have a whole grooming setup there, and it's really profound. And I walked away wanting all of the dogs.
But, as we do.
The director of training for Journey Together said, no, we have to get you the right dog for the right program. And after a couple of years, Pepper became available, and they called me and said, we think we have the dog for you. And I was like, I don't want a lab. I don't want dog hair everywhere. And I have to convince the county that this is going to be a good thing. And they had me come to meet Pepper. And as I was leaving that morning, I said to my husband and daughter, now, listen, we have to keep our expectations in line here. So you have to help me and remind me as I'm leaving. And of course, as I was walking out the door, they were chanting, get the dog, get the dog. So I went up and met her, and then we arranged for a visit to the courthouse, and anyone who had any reservations, they were immediately, I think, sort of quieted by meeting Pepper, and she's just been phenomenal. She's worked with so many victims. Of course, only victims who choose. We make it very clear that this is optional. Staff have been great. I've worked at the courthouse a long, long time, as we've established, and I think there are many people who don't know my name, but they will scream Pepper across the building at me. And one day I was walking to my car to go to the doctor, and someone screamed out, like, the third story window, where is Pepper? Like, she's in the office. It's okay. I just have to go get my teeth cleaned or whatever I was doing. So,
and I bet too, Jen, it's not just kids who are comforted by Pepper. It's just people.
Exactly. I think when we were trying to establish this program, and we've really made it a program, we have custom Pepper activity books that explain the process for younger people, talk about the rules of testifying. We have some stuffed Peppers that we can give the kids. But I think when we had it in mind, of course, we were focusing on children, but it has just been an outstanding success with all ages. I didn't really think about some of the other age groups would reach. The first time that a young teenage boy was in our office and Pepper was there, he was very non-communicative. Who wants, you know, they don't want to talk to Jen. They don't want to talk to some middle-aged old lady, you know, about this very painful case they're going through. And as he was going to go watch his care center video, he said, well, can Pepper watch my video with me? And then I walked by the room, and he's sitting with his arm around the dog. I thought, oh, we've done a really good thing here.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we responded to a shooting at an industry, and that was a lot of mostly older men, again, who, if I walk around the room saying, I'd like to tell you about crime victim compensation, they might be polite and listen. But if I walk around the room with Pepper, pretty soon everyone's talking to me, and then I can sort of slip in that information about resources for them or ask them how they're doing. And again, with children, it's just been incredible and outstanding. The county has been phenomenal about it. The judges have been great. Everyone really has, I think, seen the benefit of this. In the new criminal court tower attached to our older buildings, we have a victim witness waiting room attached to every courtroom. So sometimes during sentencing or other hearings, Pepper is waiting in that room. And we had a sentencing of a case with a number of teenage sexual assault victims. And we had Pepper in that room, and they could come in, and some of them would lay on the floor with her. They can hear what's going on in the other room. From there, we turn the volume up or turn it off. And so it's just been amazing.
I highly recommend going to the Waukesha County Victim Witness Facebook page, where you can see plenty of pictures of Pepper and find more information. We'll link all of this to our blog today as far as resources available to specifically Jen's program. But also, I would love to know more about how this exists in district attorney's offices across the state. So thank you so much, Jen, for joining us today. I'm happy that we ended on a lighter note with Pepper. But thank you for your work.
Oh, well, no problem.
All right. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back after the break.
The Downtown Waukesha Christmas Parade is Sunday, December 4th, and WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM is proud to cover all the festivities. Parade coverage starts at 3 p.m. The coverage is brought to you by Mia's Kitchen and Pizzeria, delicious, fresh, homestyle Italian, and Planned Parenthood. Care no matter what. Affordable health care without judgment. Book your appointment today at ppwi.org. And Albanese's Roadhouse, authentic Italian family restaurant, sports bar, and grill.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.